Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Jesus the Only Way radio blog. My name is Faith Dean, and I am your host. To all those out there listening, let's give God some praise. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you have bestowed on us. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Today, our topic is, where is your faith? And before we get started, let's have Deacon Chapman open us up in prayer.
Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, as we approach your throne of grace, Father, we ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, may allow me to pray a prayer for cooperation. You have brought all your faithful people into a single universal family, stretching across heaven and earth. Bind us together with a spiritual love which is stronger than any human love, that in serving one another we may neither count the cost nor seek rewards, but only think of the common good. And Almighty God and most merciful Father, who has given us a new commandment, that we should love one another, give us also grace that we may fulfill in faith, make us gentle, courteous, and forbearing. God, direct our lives, all our steps, so that we may look for the good of the others in word and deed by setting an example, and hallow all our friendships by the blessings of your spirit. For God, you loved us, your son loved us, and gave himself for us. I pray this prayer of blessings on the radio station and all those listeners. And whatever you have petitioned to God this day, I pray according to his will, that he will bless you with it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Deacon Chapman. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and get it started. Where is your faith? Are you praying to God for a miracle? But deep within your mind, you wonder if he...
Where did you go, Brian?
Are you praying to God for a healing and then wondering if he will do it for you? Or perhaps are you desiring a deeper, more powerful relationship with the Lord? Is there a friend or a loved one that needs salvation? Where is your faith? You need to have faith in order to please God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who came to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." What do you think about that, Deacon Chapman?
Well, first of all, on the scripture that you read, we have to look at the author of Hebrews explaining that faith is mandatory for you to be a believer. And the reward is that God rewards those who seek him. For he do good in the Holy, through the Holy Spirit, the power and the word. But let's look at a scripture in Romans 5:1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." So you have faith, you have to rest in the hope. So question of life, what is faith? One time in which to believe, or the act of believing itself. And what is the concrete example of faith that we can find in the Bible? And we all know in the book of Ephesians, right?
Mm-hmm.
that for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself, for it's the gift of God. It's a gift. But you first have to develop faith to get that gift. And develop that faith, you have to look at the finished work of the cross of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because faith is the word that describes our only acceptance of God's saving grace. And by faith, there are two forms, the word faith and believe. So you have to believe to have first believe and develop faith. And when you develop faith, now you're converted. And once you're converted, you're delivered. And you look at faith, two aspects, in unbelief. In the Old Testament.
Yeah, I'm listening to it.
You suffered from unbelief. In the New Testament, still under the new covenant, suffer from unbelief, because the thing about it is that when Jesus said faith is often understood primarily as trusting God, the key, do we trust God? Do we pray a prayer, Sister Faith? God, teach me to trust you more, because Jesus always trusted in God. A lot of people that he taught, that heard him speak, was not trusting. There's still some of them doubting. As today, a lot of people doubt God's word. And faith is also the means by which we are saved. Paul states that clearly. I read it in Romans 5 and 1, and also in 2 and 8. And what we have to look at, Ephesians 2 and 8 and Romans 5 and 1, they link together God's grace, and that's the beginning of our salvation. But we cannot work for salvation. Once we receive salvation, we work it out. We can't work for it. And our faith with God and by God, because that's the gift that he gives us. And the thing about it, the key is, are we going to trust God? Are we going to allow him to be the Lord of our lives? Because we know in the first chapter of Samuel, the Israelites wanted a king like the pagan communities had. So they went to Samuel and said, we want a king. So Samuel went to God. God told Samuel, I'm just paraphrasing, God told Samuel who to pick. But the man he picked is not the one God actually wanted, because God was the one to be the king, the judge, their father, their husband. And the thing about it is that there was someone coming through the lineage of David, Jesus, which will be the author of our faith. But we have to look at that. Do we really believe, Sister Faith, that Jesus is the author and the finisher of faith? Because God is the architect. Jesus was the builder. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And the Holy Spirit is our guide by faith. Because Israel has to come home, because Jesus said that he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And for their blindness, faith and unbelief, he inserted the Gentiles and grafted them in to the gospel of grace. But the thing about it is that as today, in the modern day, as we call the Millennium Church, are we truly believers? A lot of people will have a conversation about Jesus, have a conversation about God. But the key is to have faith. Sister Faith, you have to have a personal relationship with him. Pray to him, Lord God, give me spiritual revelation of your word and knowledge, and keep at it by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our guide. And the secret to a Christian life in faith is that we have to abide in him and let him abide in us. In the 8th chapter, it says that if the Son sets you free, if the truth sets you free, you're free indeed. But the 36th verse says, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. So our liberty is in Christ. How do we get that liberty? Through his finished work on the cross. He died for our sins. Whether you believe it or believe it, he died for our sins. God sent his only begotten Son. His name was in Matthew, Jesus, which means Savior. And also it says, Emmanuel, God with us. If the Pharisees and the Sadducees would have actually recognized that that was God in the same recognizable flesh that they were walking around, maybe the world would be in a different place. But because no one actually would recognize that it was God himself in tabernacle, in a humanity of flesh, just like he made Adam. Jeez. Now, you're either going to be of Christ or you're going to be of Adam. So I'll let you go back.
Amen. Amanda, Carla, do you have anything you would like to share with us?
switched them for another pair and walked out with them.
Yeah.
Because they too worn.
But they are cute.
Yeah, so look at that tip.
Yeah.
That's my switch down.
Carla, do you have anything you would like to share with us? Okay.
I'll insert this, Sister Faith.
Yes.
Today's world, faith is never easy because the more convinced
right.
we are of the reality of all good and all powerful God,
right.
the more our trust will grow and the less we will be overwhelmed by the doubts and tribulations. Because when people are tried and they are indebted
mm-hmm.
in tribulation, they become
mm-hmm.
fearful, feel that
mm-hmm.
God is not for them. But see, sometimes God will give us a test to test our endurance. And the thing about it is, can we always turn these things over to the Father and have peace with it? Because we worry about
mm-hmm.
money, worry about our children, we worry about
mm-hmm.
somebody liking us. But the thing about it, whatever state that you're in, you have to realize God still loves you because God is love. And the thing
right.
about it, John 17 and 17, Jesus himself say, you know the truth because God is truth. Now,
right.
the thing about it, are you going to believe that God is all-powerful, that he is the creator? Now, when he created Adam, he gave him everything that he had because when he breathed into his nostrils, his spirit,
mm-hmm.
he became a living soul. He had everything that the Godhead had. He had the Father, he
yes.
had the Son, he had the Holy Spirit, and he had dominion over the earth. But he quit claiming to Satan because of from a tree that God told them not to eat of, the tree of the knowledge of good
right,
and evil.
It.
Now, the
right.
thing about it is
yeah.
that there were many trees in the garden. Now, did he eat of any other? But he did told him not
right.
to eat of the tree of life. And the thing about
right.
it was Revelation, that tree of life is in Revelation 22nd chapter. And
right.
what we have to realize that, are we still going to eat of that bitter fruit? And that bitter fruit is always produced to us by Satan. It's not a physical fruit, but if you have a deceitful
mm-hmm.
heart, an unfaithful heart, an unloving heart, you will be magnetized by Satan because he's the god of this world. He's the prince of the air.
Right.
And don't ever underestimate the power of Satan.
Amen. Amen.
His job. I'll give you a little story just right quick. There were some guys walking down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And they seen this guy come out of the club, had on a custom-made suit,
mm-hmm.
money in both hands, a lady on each arm, went and got into a
mm-hmm.
custom-made car. And the guys
mm-hmm.
were going to revival. They said, wow, said, man, look at him. Boy, we could be like that. They said, come on, man, let's go to church. So they moved on. And next time, the next night when they were going to revival, they saw the same guy with two different women,
mm-hmm.
more money in his hand, and a different custom-made car, different custom-made suit. And they said, man,
mm-hmm.
how can we be like back then? He said, okay, he said, I'll see you later. So they went on to revival. They got out and they kept worrying about, thinking about with him and him. So when they were going to the revival the third night, they looked for him, but they didn't see him.
Mm-hmm.
They heard a noise at a concert across the street, so they went there looking for him. They couldn't find him. They went over to
mm-hmm.
the ballpark, yelling and screaming and hollering. They couldn't find him. So they went on to church. And when they went in, guess who was sitting on the front row? The one who they thought was a pimp. So they ran
mm-hmm.
up to him and said, sir, could we go outside and talk? Because we want to be like you. We want women on our arm. We want money. We want custom-made cars. Let them custom-made suits. He said, leave me alone. He said, no, we got to talk to you. Got to talk to you. Look, we went to the club looking for you. We couldn't find your concert. We couldn't find your ballpark. But here you're in church. He said, the people in the club are mine. The people at the concert are mine. The people at the ballpark are mine. But these are the ones that's giving me the biggest problem.
Mm.
Did you
Amen.
Get the moral of that story?
Yeah, I get it.
Satan do not
yeah.
want you to have faith in the Creator, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He does not. And there are a lot of people sitting in pews today that are just sitting there and they're dead in Christ. Because Christ said, let the dead bury the dead. They are just like the walking dead. You have to get in that word. You have to have a prayer, a daily prayer life. You have to treat people with love and compassion. You have to love one another. Regardless what a person do to you or about you, still love them. And I guarantee you, if you turn those situations over to Father and let the Holy Spirit work on their heart, you will see a difference in that person. Because the thing about it, don't ever underestimate the power of God. But a lot of times we want to deal with the wiles of Satan when he's shooting those fiery darts at us. And the thing about it, we have to stand fast. We have to go to Ephesians 6th chapter. We have to study what the armor of God is. It is the word.
Amen.
Put on the helmet of salvation. Tell the truth. Charge your feet up, you know. But the thing about it, and the breastplate, all that is about God's salvation. And that's through the word. And the only way you can get it, you have to learn, study. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, at work when you're be ashamed, but rightly divine the word of truth. So how are you going to rightly divine the word of truth if you don't know the truth, if you don't study the word?
Amen. Amen. In that, when it says in rewarder, you, when you're speaking, even when you're praying, when you're speaking, you got to either speak life or you're going to speak death, because we're...
No, he's coming. I need a number. He's coming.
Okay. We have the power and authority. But you have to believe, and you got to cause it to go into action. Whatever you pray for, believe on what you desire. And a lot of times your greatest enemy is yourself. And I want to also share here, put your faith into actions and please God and know your miracle, your healing, your protection, your blessings, whatever it is you want from God, it is truly on its way. But you have to wait on God. In the meantime, while you're waiting, lift up his name, praise on him, keep smiling, knowing that God has a plan for you. You prayed, you said amen, God is going to answer your prayer. But you can't pray, say amen, and then go back out in the same situation that you came in. Once you say amen, you're already walking into a new plan for your life because you gave it to God, and God's going to answer your prayer. As an act of fact, trust God and the process that he is empowering you. And I just want to also say that a lot of times, let's say, I'm gonna use my sister, and I think I've said this before. I have prayed for a relationship with my sister for many years, and it's been many years. We don't have a good relationship, and this is something that I want, and so I never lost my faith in the things that I know that I gave to God to restore relationships, and if God is about restoring relationships, especially in family. Because a lot of families are torn apart. You have one believer that believes in God. You have other people that are still walking in darkness. And you, because you know God, you want your family not to walk in darkness either. And so you have to pray, but you have to believe God is going to restore your family. Well, today is her birthday today, and I got her a nice card, and I sent it over to her. And I'm going to be calling her in a bit to cheer and wish her a happy birthday. And so I know that God is going to restore our relationship, that we're going to be able to talk and be sisters again like we've always been. And I just believe God that he's going to restore it. And a lot of times, God wants to do something in your own life to make things better for your own life as an individual, because if you have a relationship with the Lord, He wants better for you. But you have to believe that He is going to do it. And so with that, I just want to just
can I ask a question?
For all of us to be encouraged. Just want everybody to be encouraged. Carla, we're still on the line. Do you have anything else would you like to share with us?
Sister Faye, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Did you say you sent a card over to her?
I sent a card or two because I live in Rialto. She lives in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, because I was going to say, why didn't
I
you just walk? I misunderstood you. But you know, when we talk about prayer, if we limit our prayers to getting just answers, a lot of times we lose sight of the grandeur of God, and we make it more of like a magic than a true communion with the living God. Because grace, when you remember when Paul prayed three times in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and Jesus told him that my grace is sufficient. In other words, He was telling him, my grace is enough. Because there's no indication that Paul thought any less of God or prayer because of experience. And the thing about it is that there's an importance in praying, because prayer gives us growth in our lives. And when we see the teachings of Jesus about prayer, because Jesus prayed constantly, but He'd always go off to Himself. See, a lot of us like to do corporate prayer and let someone listen to us like the Pharisee and the publican. But the thing about it, we have to go in a private place and have a private conversation with God through Christ, because prayer has a value to it whether or not we believe it, because a lot of us want to pray for works, but prayer is not work. Prayer keeps us in touch with God the Father through the Son, and His grace can sustain us through good times and the bad times. So if we're going to enter into his rest, we will have peace. And if, I always recommend people to look at Psalms 51 and Psalms 102 if you don't know how to pray. Look at how David went before the Lord. And I can imagine David laying prostrate on the floor praying to the Father. Because one of the things about David was he was the only king of Israel that constantly confessed his iniquities before his father, but he did it in private. And the thing about it, we have to have a private commune with the Father in prayer. Not praying for personal things and material things, but praying for blessing, praying for peace, praying for one another. Pray for the pastor, for his family.
Right.
Pray for your fellow members in your congregation. Pray for the strangers that come in. Because the thing about it is that people want to see the Spirit of God on you, and Jesus wants to see Christ in you at all times if you're going to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God rose him from the dead. And the thing about it, going back to what we started off with, do you have a faith of believing? Do you have a prayer life? Because prayer is essential in the Christian experience. You cannot go around saying, I'm a Christian or I am a part of Christianity, and you do not have a fundamental relationship with God with prayer. And the relationship, if you have that relationship and it is enriched by good communication, prayer is a communication between ourselves and God. Pray for constantly. You know, pray for your, like I said, pray for your loved ones, pray for your family. But most of all, we have to pray for leaders. Like this election come up, my prayer has been, God, according to your will, you put the person in the White House that you deem fit. But here's the thing about it. If you believe in God, you have a prayer life, and you are in peace, remember, it's not the President of the United States that's going to lead us, because God is always in control, Sister Faith.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And prayer will constantly increase the disposition of our minds and our heart, because the heart of the problem could be a problem of the heart. We have to have a prayer life daily. Daily, all day.
Yeah.
I remember my grandmother used to go around the house saying, Lord have mercy. And one day I asked her, I said, Mama, what's wrong? Well, I'm just talking to the Father. Have mercy and grace on me. I got a message. I say that constantly. Lord, have mercy on me. Oh, God, thank you for your grace and your love for this day, because I give yesterday back to him because it's gone. And I look for tomorrow.
Amen. Another thing that can help us as we grow in our faith and to be to believe in is to look at your trophies. My pastor always say, look at your trophies. If you look at your trophies, it's the things that you have prayed for that God has already answered your prayer for, even if it was for people. Whatever the reason is, you can see the things that God has already done. So if he's faithful to you this moment, wouldn't he be faithful to you all the way? So when you look at the things that God has done already, you can see, oh, God has done this for me, God has done that for me. God has done everything his word says, but just like you said, Deacon Chapman, you have to have a personal relationship with the Lord. You have to talk to him one-on-one, however you need to do it, even if you don't know how to pray. Have God. He will lead you to the word. He will lead you because he sees your heart. You're opening up your heart to him. And he will show you how to pray. But you got to believe that he is going to answer you in every situation, on all, every level in your life, because God wants abundant good for your life. He doesn't want to leave you where you at. And wherever you at, he will come to you. But you have to believe. You got to believe that he is true.
Mm-hmm.
And his word says it all. So, and it's always good to pray and to pray for other people, your church, your pastor, your friends, your neighbors. Just and believe that God is answering that. And with that, I'm pretty much on with what needs to be said today.
When we're speaking about prayer, if you look at 1 Peter, 3rd chapter, in the 12th verse, and verse 8 says, For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears are open unto their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against them that show evil. Okay, when we pray, does that mean God does not hear our prayer? And when we don't get a right now answer, sometimes we feel that God didn't, but he hears it. Sometimes the things we pray for are not. That is not, it is not good for us. Or sometimes he says yes, no, maybe so. Or sometimes he doesn't say anything. He may put that on hold. Because the thing about it, for prayer, we have to be careful of what we are requesting and what we are praying for. Because Jesus, on certain terms, said that God would not hear his prayer. And the thing about it is the prayer coming from your want for material things, or prayer coming from your heart. And that, because I remember growing up, I used to hear the older people say, the love of God is like love going from breast to breast and heart to heart. I didn't know what that meant until I started really studying the word of God. And that means we're supposed to do unto others that we have them do unto us, that, which is the golden rule, Matthew 7:12, Luke 6:31, I think it is. Because we can't go into prayer and then start asking questions, why God doesn't do this or why God did this. What we have to do is always trust in God. And when we ask, God will give it to you according to his will.
Right.
You know? Because one of the dramatic verses in Ephesians, I think it's in the 6th chapter, said, not with eye service, a man pleases, but as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Which goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. See, we love to do things to impress people, you know. People dress to impress, but I don't think a lot of time you dress in the press, because I feel if God has blessed you with nice attire, you should present it to him when you go to worship. So a lot of us say we go to church, but actually Jesus never said go to church. He said I'll build my church, but he said his house would be a house of prayer. And the thing, we have prayer, praise, and worship. We pray to the Father. We praise the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we also worship the Father, the Son, through the Holy Spirit, see? And the thing about it is that is the Spirit of God on each and individual person that walks through the doors to the edifice on whatever given day. Sunday school is Bible study. Bible study during the week is Bible study. And Sunday morning, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, when he preached the cross to them that perished fully. A lot of people who are claim to be saved are still perishing because they still got a foothold in the world. You know, they still on their dog. They hoop and holler, shout, run around on Sunday, but live like a junkyard dog Monday through Saturday. And then Paul said that we are all believers are supposed to be peculiar, even though he wrote that to the scattered tribe. But if you are a believer, you are a peculiar person to those that view you because you have changed your life. Now your life is in, you have a different walk, you have a different conversation, you even present a different look to the people. And a lot of times people who are in the world, they are fearful of you because they don't want to hear the truth from you.
Right. Yeah. I wanted to share a lot of people believe in advertisements like, say, if you come to this store, you get a free dinner. People believe in advertisements more than they believe in the Word of God. And so a lot of times we need to put your trust in God and be prepared to believe everything that God says. And, you know, a lot of people are out there on their cell phone. There's no relationship with people anymore. Everybody's in their own world on their cell phone, but how much time do you give to God? The time that you spend on your cell phone, you could be giving it to God, which is going to change your life. That cell phone is not going to change your life, but God is going to change your life. So we got to look at the things that we do on a daily basis so that we can get a little closer, not even a little, a lot closer to God.
You were speaking about a free meal. If you study,
the
Israelites in the wilderness, they got a free meal 6 days a week, but some of them got to be greedy. They wanted to collect more, and he told them to correct it. He would give them enough on the 6 day, the last on the day of the Sabbath day, the rest, see? And
we're
still greedy.
All right, then. We've got to the end, and Deacon Chapman, would you like to close us in prayer?
Well, Father God, we come to you once more, Father. We were talking about the author and finisher of our faith, which is your darling son, Jesus, Father. Whoever walked by faith when he was on earth, because he trusted you as we should trust him. We pray that those that have listened today but did not have any comments, that God maybe have opened up their hearts by something was said today, especially by prayer and faith. Because if we look in the 16th chapter of Acts, Lydia's heart was open because she wanted to know more about the gospel of grace given by Paul. So I pray, God, that heaven would wake us up. Open our hearts, Father. Open up our minds that we may treat each and every one, Father, with the same love that Jesus said in John 13:34. This new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. And he was speaking while he was on earth, but he's ascended to heaven with you, Father, sitting on the right hand, and he still loves us. God is love. I have a friend that texts in the text always say, God is love. So the thing about it, we are supposed to have the same love for one another as God has for the Son and for us. Bless this radio station, Father, and I pray that Sister Faith will continue to bring in people to make comments on this word, which is the true Word of God, and that's the only truth. There's no other religion in the world that speaks the truth because your son is the only one, Father, that you rose from the dead and became your only begotten son, the first fruit of the grave. And I pray that everybody that's listening today will become a fruit of bear and one day see that tree of life in heaven. And I pray, Father, that they will have a daily prayer life, that they will love one another. And thank you, Sister Faith, for letting me make these comments today. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, thank you, callers that came on to listen in, and I thank you, and you guys tune in next Wednesday. With that, God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.
All right. Peace and blessings.
Yeah.